Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel. Still glowing from a post-fun drive, we have Dr. Alan Chartok with the governor of New York State, Andrew Cuomo. Good morning, gentlemen.
You go first, Governor. You're the governor.
Good morning. I'm glad to hear you're glowing this morning, Alan.
Okay. I think I should hear him now. Yeah. Did you say hello, Governor?
I said hello. I'm glad to hear that you are glowing this morning.
Oh, yes. We're glowing. We did extremely well in our fund drive, $1 million, and we were only on for a couple of hours this morning, and our famous locked box has done extremely well. People put money in, and the president's budget is out. Apparently, he wants to, you know, do away with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the CPB, and kill public radio, but we're not going to let him. Okay, so let's start. President Donald Trump and Andrew Cuomo are battling over the federal government's ban preventing New Yorkers from enrolling in trusted travelers programs. Trump wrote in a tweet, "Governor Cuomo wanted to see me this weekend. He just canceled. Very hard to work with New York. So stupid," unquote.
Yes, and your question is? Fact or fiction?
Yeah. Fact or fiction?
Dream or reality?
Dream or reality.
It's a dream, except the dream is a nightmare. We're not actually fighting about TTP, right? It's actually more basic than that. We're fighting over our basic disagreement on immigration policy. And he is running for re-election on his immigration policy, which is anti-immigration. And he uses it as a wedge to divide the body politic and give them a simple answer to all their problems. It's the immigrants. It's the immigrant. It's the different people, different religion, different race, different creed. Simple political device. It's called divide and conquer. It's been around for a long time. Ugly, mean, untrue, but effective divide and conquer. That's the disagreement. The manifestation is New York and 15 other states have laws that allow undocumented people to get driver's licenses because my daughters, other people's daughters, children, family members drive on the roads. We want to make sure people have licenses and they took a test and they know what they're doing. As a manifestation and furtherance of the immigration debate, well, if you allow undocumenteds to get a license, then we're going to penalize you any way we can, even if it's illegal and unrelated, just to make the political point that we disagree with you giving driver's licenses to undocumented. And this, they're going to set their attack operatives at Department of Homeland Security. Deputy Secretary Cuccinelli. Who's Deputy Secretary Cuccinelli? He's the Republican conservative, ran for governor of Virginia, lost, who suggested we rewrite the Emma Lazarus poem on the Statue of Liberty. And it shouldn't say, give me your tired and poor. It should say, give me your tired, your poor, who are self-sustaining and will not be a public charge, which means all our people would have been turned away, including probably the Trumps and the Pences. So Cuccinelli says, we're going to revoke the TTP program, Trusted Traveler Program, if you have this law.
Now,
and we're going to start with New York.
Now, of course, this is killing, will kill a lot of the business trade that we have in this area. People who listen to this radio station here in Plattsburgh, you know, they depend on being able to do business and do it quickly and get across quickly. Do they have any hope?
I think they have hope because it is so bizarre and illegal and retaliatory and gratuitous. Their position is they're going to revoke the Trusted Traveler Program, which basically allows an expedited crossing across the border,
right,
a peace bridge, some bridges to Canada, and coming in from trips overseas at airports where you are pre-screened by the federal government for clearance. That's what the Trusted Traveler Program is. You sit with a federal official in person. You give your information to a federal official. You give your documentation in person. They verify it. You then get a certification that says you're pre-screened to go across a border.
Mm-hmm.
How the heck they can defend, well, because you have undocumented people on your driver's license program, that then affects the Trusted Traveler program. There's no connection. And that's clear. The Daily News did an editorial today. The Times wrote a story originally where even the authorizing Congress people say there's no connection between the two. This is just their political stretch to push their point. Why do they do it in New York? Because they're going to lose New York anyway, they believe, come Election Day. And since they're so hyper-political, since we're going to lose New York, well, then just kick New York, right? Because we're not going to win. And if we're not going to win, we don't care about them because they're hyper-political, Alan. And they've done that all along. The SALT taxes, I was in the governor's conference this weekend, the SALT, eliminating the deduction of state and local taxes, literally took billions of dollars from Democratic states and transferred it to Republican states. That's what that did in their tax plan that they passed. Why? Because they're going to lose Democratic states. So let's take money from the Democratic states and give it to the Republican states who are going to vote for us. That's all this is.
Okay, but I want to get back to the original question, Governor, if I may. Trump says, Governor Cuomo wanted to see me this weekend. He just canceled. Very hard to work with New York. So stupid. All they do is sue me all the time. And, of course, you and the State Attorney General are suing him over this. But is it true? I mean, I just wanted to get the dynamic of whether you were willing to meet with him or not.
No, it is. There is no truth to it. I called, asked for a meeting. By the way, I've had a meeting with him on SALT, on LaGuardia Airport, on the AirTrain, on the Second Avenue subway. So I called and asked for a meeting on TTP. The lawsuit he's talking about, all they do is sue me. He's talking about the Attorney General's lawsuit on his taxes, which has offended him deeply.
But isn't she also, and you?
Yes,
but he didn't
know that at the time. He's now referring to the current lawsuit, which is going to be filed today. He's referring back to the Attorney General's lawsuit on the taxes, which started under Attorney General Schneiderman. I called for a meeting. They said they would get back to me. They've never gotten back to me with the meeting. He then tweets, I canceled the meeting, which is totally untrue. I then called the president after that. I spoke to the president.
Really?
I said, we never had a meeting, and therefore I never canceled the meeting because I'm requesting the meeting. He was referring to the governors have a White House dinner last night that I was never attending because I was coming back to Albany yesterday afternoon. And I wasn't going to that dinner. Well, I was never going to that dinner.
Well, was that a slap in his face? I mean, by not going to the dinner?
No, I've never been to that dinner.
Well, just because you haven't been there doesn't mean that, you know, there isn't a time to sort of make nice.
No, I've never been to the dinner. I never was planned to be at the dinner. I never said I was going to be at the dinner, so I couldn't have canceled being at the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a social event with all the governors who are at the conference. I didn't even attend. I don't even believe I attended during the previous administrations. And I don't want to go have a drink. I want to sit down and talk about, I want to have a meeting. I want to talk about the actual substance in the program. So I clarified that with the president. And I said, I want a meeting. And he said he would call tomorrow, which is today, and they would set up a meeting. So we'll see what happens.
Okay. Bill de Blasio, the New York City mayor, is here for what's called Tin Cup Day, when everybody comes up to beg you for money. Will you be meeting with the mayor while he's in town? How are you guys getting along these days? There seems to be a lot of talk in the media, and it has been for a long time, about how you don't like each other.
You know, there's a lot of talk in the media about a lot of things.
I agree with that.
The mayor has his role. The governor has his role. The mayor of New York City and the governor have a long history. You remember my father and Ed Koch, et cetera. So the mayor will come advocate for the city, and Tin Cup Day is, because traditionally the mayors in this state, mayors around the country, go to the state, go to the federal government, said we need more money. That's what they do. By the way, every group during this time of year, the budget year, says the same word, more. It's never enough because they're advocating for their cause, right? So I need more education. I need more health care. I need more for this. All very good causes, more for my city, more for my county, more for my village, more for my town. But don't raise taxes. Don't raise taxes because we're losing people, right? So that's the game that happens every year this time of year.
President Trump, back to him. He blames you and Mayor de Blasio for the attacks on New York City Police Department officers over the weekend, saying weak leadership was to blame. A lot of people are saying, yeah, we can't let people out of prison under the out of jail or under bail reform if they're really dangerous, if we don't give the judges the right to hold people. What do you say?
Two separate issues, bail reform and police relations. I won't comment on the president politicizing the shooting of a police officer. They politicize everything, but some things are just too cheap and disgusting to engage in. And the shooting of a police officer is one of the most serious things that can happen as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. And I refuse to engage in politics around it. On the police, I have the greatest respect for the NYPD, police departments across the state, but the NYPD does a phenomenal job. I am a native New Yorker. As rare as that is now, in the old days, everybody grew up in New York, but now we have a lot of people coming from all over. But I'm a native New Yorker. I grew up in Queens. A lot of the guys I grew up with, to be a police officer was one of the highest callings. And it's a terribly dangerous, pressing job. I am disturbed at the relations between the police department and the community. It's about trust and respect, and it's a two-way street. I was disturbed when I saw people throwing water on a New York Police Department official. I mean, you throw water on a police officer? That scene, that video, was very disturbing to me. That did not happen in my lifetime. You treated a police officer with total respect. The thought that you could throw water on a police officer, that's just frightening to me. You cannot operate the city that way. Police need to be respected. They represent the rule of law, and that's what keeps us all safe. They deserve respect. They deserve trust. And it has to be a two-way street with the community. And the relation between the police and the community is dangerously frayed. There was a protest a couple of weeks ago where the protesters at a subway station were chanting foul words at the NYPD. This is a serious situation, and it has to be addressed. I feel that very strongly. I spoke about the Attorney General, James, being available to local governments to help with the relationship between the community. The Attorney General is the top legal officer in the state. If a locality wants to use her services to help facilitate the relationship, but I'm very concerned at the lack of respect for the NYPD.
Well, do you have any real understanding of what's going on with the community people who are so angry? You know, I agree with you. It's a terrible thing when a police officer are attacked. But you're saying that there's dissonance between the community and the police, or community members and the police. What's that about? I mean, is there any justification for that dissonance?
Well, it's a stressed relationship. It's feelings, right?
Yeah, well, what's the stress? What's the feelings based on?
We have seen videos where people believe police have been unnecessarily aggressive, right? You can go back to the Eric Garner video. There were videos of police actions. You know, everybody now has a camera, right? And There's all sorts of video where people believe police have been overly aggressive. From the police officer's side, you know, you go near anyone nowadays, and you don't know if they have a gun, you don't know if they have a knife, and you want to make sure you go home at night. So I get the tension in the relationship, but the way it has played out is as bad as I have seen. You know, you'd have to go back decades to find this kind of stress between the police and the community. So I believe it's something that has to be addressed, and it is about the relationship, and it is about feelings. But the disrespect to the NYPD is intolerable from a societal point of view. They're working for all of us. They're keeping us all safe. And remember, the number one victim of crimes tend to be members of the minority community. Those are the communities with higher crime rates geographically. So
true.
The relationship has to be attended to.
Let's talk a little bit about the meeting that you went, your president-elect of the Governors Association, I believe. And so you've been saying all along that marijuana was being held up because you wanted it to be New Jersey, Connecticut, and New York all on the same page. You talked to those guys down there about this?
Yes, but I never said that.
Oh.
I said regional collaboration and coordination would be good. But I don't see that as a sine qua non for a state passing it.
Mm-hmm.
We have a political question on the passage. Yes, it's popular statewide, but there are still people with political qualms about it. So it's not only pass it when you have regional coordination. Pass it when you can with regional coordination. The governor's meeting overall was very refreshing for me. You know, governors are a different breed, right?
Sure. I absolutely believe that.
They are. They are.
Which
and
kind
they
of
made
breed?
That clear. You know, they have to get the job done at the end of the day. So they have a different orientation. It's less political. It's more practical. They tend to cut to the chase, if you will, right? Well, all this discussion, yeah, that's nice, but it's all irrelevant, right? A governor has to focus on making sure the lights go on and the place is safe and the economy is running. So they tend to be less hyperbolic, less political, more practical, and there's more intellectual honesty, I think, in their discussion. You know, we didn't discuss this at the meeting, but all this talk about the presidential and this presidential candidate's going to do this and this presidential candidate's going to do this. Yeah, except you can't do anything on the Democratic side unless we also have a Democratic Senate, right? President comes in, well, I wish this. Yeah, they don't hand you a magic wand, Alan. You now have to get the legislation, and you have to get it through the House, and you have to get it through the Senate. And you have to make sure, even if it's all Democrats, that it's you have consensus among the Democrats.
Yeah, but you're such a strong leader. People say that about you. You know, he can get anything he wants. We've talked about this before. So, you know, is that baloney?
Yes, that's a good word. Did you come up with that word?
I love baloney. Oh, okay.
That's a very New York word, by the way.
Well, I am a New Yorker, 96th Street. Yeah, that's where I grew up, not in some foreign country, you know, across the one of those bridges. I grew up in New York City.
There it is, that Manhattan arrogance, that out-of-borough edge. And that's why I have that out-of-borough chip on my shoulder.
Yes, it is.
Like Mario Cuomo to this day.
You said over the weekend that you don't think Bernie Sanders is the best Democratic candidate to beat Trump because the label socialist will be a bitter pill to swallow. You favor Joe Biden, but if Biden is so popular, why didn't he take what he labeled as a gut punch in Iowa, not to mention his poor polling in tomorrow's New Hampshire primary?
My, that was a provocative question.
Yes, I thought so.
And you're even forecasting the poor showing tomorrow in New Hampshire. Look, every candidate has pluses and minuses, right? And every candidate brings different issues to the situation. I think that one of the issues that Bernie Sanders brings is the quote-unquote member that he's a socialist.
Right.
And, you know, the Democratic Party primary is one thing, and but I think that's going to be an issue in the general election. But Joe Biden, yes, he did not do well at all in Iowa, and they're forecasting that he doesn't do well in New Hampshire. I think it's still early, Alan. I don't know that those states are necessarily representative of the Democratic Party nationwide. Why are they early? Why do we do caucuses in Iowa? I don't know. You have to
Well, you don't like caucuses anymore. You don't like caucuses any more than I do, do you? That's sort of funny.
No.
Okay.
No. And I don't like these early litmus tests that have this such a heavy focus of the media when they are not that representative of the party, you know.
Cuomo criticizes Vermont and New Hampshire as being not representative. That's the headline.
No, it is. Why don't we have a primary process that either has more elections up front so you can get a real test, you know? Not just Iowa, New Hampshire, New York, California, you know, have a smattering of states more representative.
Well, you're right, but that's just the way it is. It hasn't changed before. These guys have no economic opportunity when they see them, and they're not going to change, right? I want to know something else. I got more.
No, somebody can change it. You know, everything is the way it is. The question is, how do you change it to make it better?
Okay, what's the answer to that question?
I think you'd have more states up front. So when you take that initial snapshot, it's a broader, more representative snapshot.
You're right. But how do you get it done?
Well, there are people you pay to do that. You know, that's federally done. But I think that's what the Democratic Party should be talking about.
How about coronavirus cases in New York? Anything that you want to tell us? A lot of people travel between New York City, China. Is New York's economy going to take a hit from this virus?
Coronavirus, everyone is watching, right? And everyone is wary, and everyone is making preparations, and we are making preparations. We've gone through situations like this before, the Ebola virus, the Zika virus, et cetera. We take nothing for granted. We are hyper-cautious because of who we are and where we are. We have not had a positive coronavirus test yet. But, Alan, we will. We will. I don't want to set a false...
I thought somebody died in New York City.
Precedent. Unless I missed it over the weekend.
Okay. Yeah, I think maybe so. But go ahead.
But I don't want to set a false premise. We will have people who test positive for the coronavirus, is my informed opinion. So I don't want to make it sound like, well, we don't have any yet, and if we do, then we have a problem. We anticipate that we will, and we have the facilities set up, and there are quarantine facilities, et cetera.
Where are they?
They're in different parts of the state, depending on where you're a resident, primarily in New York City. It would be Jamaica Hospital, Bellevue Hospital.
Right.
If you come in through JFK, which is our main port of entry, it's one of the designated airports. But we will, I think it's almost inevitable, but that we will. Places around the country have. And as long as you're prepared to handle it, it's fine. The fear on the coronavirus is if it increased dramatically, it could be problematic for the healthcare system to deal with, by and large. But that's what they're looking at. It's not that if you have a case of coronavirus, then you have a dire situation in that locality.
Okay. So we have a wonderful Chinatown in Manhattan, you know, where I came from, or one in Brooklyn, which I've recently been in. What happens to them? Have we had any indication that people are avoiding anything Chinese?
I've heard that anecdotally. I don't have any information that would suggest that, Alan. But, you know, fear is the problem in these situations. I was talking about this over the weekend to a couple of people. Any of these emergency situations, floods, snowstorms, what I'm most worried about is the fear itself, is the panic that can set in. one of the reasons I'm so diligent about showing up at situations where there's an issue, why I'm doing coronavirus briefings all the time. The panic is the problem.
Sure.
And it's important to communicate we're on top of this, we're prepared, we understand it, no reason to feel undue anxiety. It's inevitable that we are going to have a case of coronavirus. By most experts say it's probable, but that's okay. When you hear that, don't overreact. It's about being prepared for it and having the precautions and having the healthcare system ready. So I work very hard at that in a myriad of applications.
Okay, let me. I'm sorry, Governor. I know that I'm rude, but I wanted to talk to you about the $3 billion Environmental Bond Act and how we're going to pay for that. Is there another way to fund this, making fossil fuel companies pay for it? Could tax law be amended to eliminate loopholes for oil giants?
I'm glad you mentioned that, and I don't find you particularly rude. Or let me say, I don't find you any ruder than you have been for the predominance of your adult life.
For a Manhattan guy, yeah. Right.
Yeah, for a Manhattan guy who looks down on outer borough guys like those.
Well, they used to say, all my friends said that we're going to the city to visit Shot Doc, going to the city as if there's only one.
No, I am one of the unwashed masses from Queens.
Did I say that? Now you cut it out.
Brooklyn, who have to go over a bridge.
I never said that.
Now you, to go into
that
Manhattan,
is so
where all the smart people live in Manhattan. It is important, and although you're rude, I respect that you don't just follow the sizzle, you go for the steak, which most journalists nowadays, or many, just follow sizzle. The stake here is we have a budget that has a lot of substantive programs in it that are going to make major changes. Everybody's focused on Medicaid and how we cover the Medicaid cost shortfall and the bail reform issue. But we have in that budget, April 1, which is just a couple of months.
You got 1 minute, Governor.
Environmental bond issue, $33 billion, largest investment by any state in the United States to fight climate change. $3 billion of which will be a bond issue, which will do natural restoration and resiliency and will be on the ballot in November. $3 billion because we don't have the money to fund it with cash, but it is an investment because when we move to renewables, we will save money long term.
Okay. Listen, I appreciate your time. I always do. I'm glad you're back, and I don't know where you went, but you're back, and I so appreciate that, and we'll be looking forward to the next time, if there is a next time.
I was in the south of France, but don't tell anyone.
So long.